Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing to you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, January 26th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody.
Happy Friday, and what a week it's been. You talk about emotional weeks and trading and some great prices in gold and silver. Very excited this week. Had a great week.
If there were a life volatility index, this would be like a yo-yo week. Up, down, all around.
Yes. And gold today, we still trading a little bit stronger than the start of the day, up $1.90, $1,350. Silver's up 13 cents today at $17.48. Platinum was down $3 at $1,014, and palladium was down $4 at $1,093. The USDX today was weaker by 0.28 at 89.15. Crude oil was up 60 cents at 66.11. And the stock market today, big jump, 26,614, up 221 points. NASDAQ was up 94 points at 7,505. The S&P was up 33 at 2,872. Oil today, oh, I'm sorry, I already did a 10-year yield, 2.66%. It's beginning to move back up, up 0.04. The euro was 124, up 0.19. I don't know what Bitcoin to do today. It was down. Bitcoin was down today, so gotta stop that ringing on one of my offlines. People, call us on 1-800-375-4188. And let's see here. Dave.
Yes.
I got a little distracted by the phone there, Rain. I think I did all the markets. It's very easy to do when you do radio, folks, and there's a distraction. It's kind of like, okay, I really can do two things at once. But sometimes we have to stay a little focused. But today, Trump took his America First message to the world's elite, and he told the Summit of Business and Political Leaders that the United States would no longer turn a blind eye to what he described as unfair trade practices.
Yeah, Trump is the first sitting U.S. president, Melody, to address the annual World Economic Forum, whose main participants are the super rich and powerful. That taking place at the Swiss ski resort in Davos, Switzerland. Trump closed the summit with what was seen as a mostly upbeat speech that declared the U.S. open for business. He said, now is the best time to bring your money, your jobs, your businesses to America. He singling out the tax cuts and curbs to regulation as boosting the investment climate. The world is witnessing the resurgence of a strong and prosperous America. So said Donald Trump.
And Trump said he would also promote America First, as he expected other world leaders. I don't know if you watched his speech. I did.
I did too.
Yes, I did. And he expected other world leaders to do on behalf of their own countries. He says, America First does not mean America alone. And when the United States grows, so does the world. He quickly turned to demanding tougher enforcement of trade rules, accusing unidentified countries of unfair practices, including stealing intellectual property and providing state aid to industry. He says, we will enforce our trade laws and restore integrity to the trading system. Only by insisting on fair and reciprocal trade can we create a system that works not just for the United States, but for all nations.
Yeah, other key quotes that I noted is America is the place to do business. When the U.S. grows, so does the world. Interesting. He also said, we will enforce our trade laws and restore integrity to the trading system. Only by insisting on fair and reciprocal trade Can we create a system that works not just for the United States, but for all nations? He also talked about the U.S. being prepared to negotiate bilateral agreements. This includes the countries in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, that he says we would consider renegotiating with the rest, either individually or perhaps as a group, if it is in the interest of all. And last, he says, to be successful, it's not enough to invest in our economy. We must invest in our people. When people are forgotten, the world becomes fractured. Only by hearing and responding to the voices of the forgotten can we create a bright future that is truly shared by all. Melody?
You know, his speech, it was very similar to a lot of his other speeches. And I think it's going to be similar to what we hear in the State of the Union next week. And so it was met with polite applause. They did welcome him with, I believe they welcomed him more politely and with more respect than what a lot of people had anticipated, or that could have just been, you know, some, you know, mainstream media talk and so forth. There were some, he did have to hit the media, of course. Of course, there were some jeers and even whistles during a question and answer session, that when he attacked the news media. And it wasn't until he made a statement, it wasn't until I became a politician that I realized just how nasty and how mean and how vicious and how fake the press can be. So, of course, that's what drew the jeers and the whistles during that statement. Trade was the big topic. Before his trip to Davos, Trump imposed 30% tariffs on imported solar panels. And also among the first unilateral trade restrictions made by the administration as part of a broader protectionist agenda.
Yeah, as we alluded a few minutes ago, Melody, the Prez said yesterday that he would reconsider the massive Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement if the U.S. could strike a substantially better agreement. But most observers believe it's almost too late for the U.S. to negotiate a new deal. If listeners recall, TPP was that 12-nation agreement among the United States and Pacific Rim countries that was designed in part to counter China's rising dominance in that region. But the president withdrew from the deal last year, saying it would encourage companies to ship jobs to lower-wage countries in that part of the world. This week, the last of the remaining 11 countries that the U.S. abandoned agreed to move ahead without us. Japan and Australia are now the effective leaders of the revised TPP, which is likely to be signed by the other nations in March.
And I did hear Ed, I believe, does that announcement about the 11 countries moving ahead without the United States was earlier this week. So it kind of makes you wonder, again, not to take anything away from Trump, by why all of a sudden now he says, well, we'll work with you. We'll redesign. You know, we might want to be a part of that agreement after the United States was already thrown out. So, don't know, but Trump repeatedly blasted the agreement, which was championed, of course, by Obama and had a little chance of securing congressional approval even before Trump took office. And, of course, Trump's populist campaign partly blamed free trade agreements for manufacturing job losses and companies relocating outside the United States. He has also preached the benefits of bilateral trade deals rather than multilateral trade agreements. He said yesterday he likes bilateral because if you have a problem, you terminate. You don't have the same option with multilateral deals, he said on Thursday.
Yeah, Rudolph likes to be invited to play in all of the reindeer games. he also repeated this week that he may terminate the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, which is another target of his. If the U.S. can't reach what he considers a better deal during ongoing negotiations with Mexico and Canada. I think we have a good chance, he said, but we'll see what happens. He said that of whether the U.S. could strike an agreement to stay in the three-nation deal with our neighbors to the north and south.
Well, they are struggling on coming up with deals with NAFTA. And I mean, it is, you know, they've been working on it for a while, and it seems to, they're having a difficult time coming to terms. So why he would terminate the North America, they can't come to any agreements. So it would just, you know, and they really do need to be updated. I mean, they do need to be changed. It did hurt our country, and they do need to be changed. And so we'll just see how, I mean, now we live in a world, we just have to wait and see anymore, just to see what happens. And because it just changes so quickly, you know, one moment you think you're going down this road, then all of a sudden it changes and it's like, oh, okay. We have to readapt our thoughts. But he says, I think we have a good chance, but we'll see what happens, as he was talking about NAFTA, whether the U.S. would strike that agreement. His debut also at Davos also caused a storm because the comments by Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. He had said earlier this week, Mnuchin, that the United States benefited from a lower dollar, which would make its exports cheaper. And we know this. Those remarks sent the U.S. dollar tumbling below the bellwether 90 mark for the first time in years. It drew attacks from the European Central Bank chief and other officials, and who view countries talking down their own currency as a violation of unwritten rules to keep trade balance. Mnuchin told CNBC television earlier today, I wanted to watch him because he came on right after the speech and I didn't have a chance to because we got busy here at Discount Gold and Silver. But he said he was absolutely not trying to talk down the dollar and that his remarks had been taken out of context. What he said was actually very even-handed and consistent with what he had said before. That was his statement. Well, you know, I think they're testing what they say. And I go back to what Greenspan always said. It's not what we do here at the Federal Reserve that moves markets. It's not what we do. It's what we say. And this is an example of how powerful their statements can be. And they do move markets. And yesterday, Trump said he ultimately wanted the dollar to be strong. U.S. officials said there was no disagreement between Trump and Mnuchin, and the Treasury Secretary had been making a factual observation and impact of a lower dollar, not announcing a policy preference to drive it down.
I can buy that. I mean, I'm not sure of the motivations or if it's just Monday morning spinning, but whatever the case, Melody, when Mnuchin said a weaker dollar is good, he took a break in a long-standing U.S. tradition with officials in this country publicly advocating for a strong dollar, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, why does all of this matter, listeners? Well, as Melody just said, the dollar hit the lowest exchange mark in 3 years after Mnuchin's comments, that coming on the heels of a slow but steady drop since last September. The strength or weakness of our dollar has the biggest impact on international trade. The strength of the dollar doesn't necessarily correlate to the state of the U.S. economy because it's always in comparison to the state of foreign currencies. So even during the financial crisis of 2008, the U.S. dollar's exchange rate actually rose as it was still stronger by comparison to other countries. But why would a weak dollar be good? Well, in theory, it could make U.S. exports cheaper and make it easier to sell around the world. That's why Trump has often berated China for artificially keeping their currency weak, so-called currency manipulation, that in order to sell more goods at lower prices to us and other foreign purchasers. Why would a weak dollar be bad? Well, the U.S. would have to pay more for imports, making many goods for consumers here more expensive. And, you know, as former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers wrote in the Financial Times not too long ago, a weak dollar could lead to higher interest rates in the U.S. and currency wars with other countries as they compete to have the cheapest currency. No one wants that, but I think a little of that in the coming year or two is probably inevitable. The bottom line, Melody, regardless of the technical pros and cons we're talking about here, as we've been telling listeners, a falling dollar is good for gold and silver. As the dollar falls, gold prices tend to rise. And that's just what's been happening the last several months. So listeners, please do yourself a favor and get in on this coming gold and silver rush now.
You know what we do say, Dave, is it isn't the gold of price. It's not the price of gold that's rising. It's the dollar that's falling.
Yes,
and
you're right.
I believe also because of our fiat currency, we really go back to our monetary policy. And I do believe there is no direction other than down that the dollar is going to go. I mean, that's just a given. That's a promise. That's a government wants a weaker dollar. They need the inflation, and they're going to get it. But that's just a given again because of our fiat currency and the way it all works. And so it takes more of those dollars. And you know, until they stabilize and change our monetary policy to what it is, yeah, they'll talk a good game of a stronger dollar and so forth. It's just not going to happen. And a weaker dollar is, and yeah, they can compete. You know, Mr. Trump, he wants to compete with other countries. They manipulate their currencies. So, you know, we should be able to play the game too. It's a dangerous game. And I think things are different now too. I don't think we have the room for mistakes like we once had. And because, you know, if you make a mistake, well, you could do this and do that, and you can, you know, plug the hole and keep the markets and the system from unfolding and so forth. But I don't think we've got the room anymore. And I do believe Mnuchin, you just don't make those statements without reason. If they make those statements without reason and they're in the position that they're in, it just goes to show how inexperienced they are then. And I don't think any of these guys, I don't know if they're inexperienced or they just don't know how it works yet. And it's hard for me to believe. I think maybe Trump might not know how it all works sometimes, but those around him, all from Goldman Sachs, and so they know. They know how it works. So, you know, it's... statements like that just don't go without a reason. Anyway, that's what I think. And we do have some great pricing on 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins today, $1,395. It's an incredible buy. What, $40? $45 above the
Price of spot.
About above the spot. Yeah, I was just looking here. So it's an incredible buy for a 1 ounce BU American Gold Eagle. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. We're going into break right now, so stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Dave Allen. And we're going to start again this second segment of the program about the economy. And we're going to talk about the GDP, Dave. The U.S. economic growth unexpectedly slowed, which is surprising considering of the all the hoopla on the $800 billion sold during the holidays and another $100 billion online and so forth. But the U.S. economic growth unexpectedly slowed in the fourth quarter. But we did have the strongest pace of consumer spending in 3 years, and that resulted in a surge of imports. The GDP expanded at a 2.6% annual rate, which was held in check by the modest pace of inventory accumulation. That followed the 3.2% annual growth pace in the third quarter. Imports, which subtract from GDP growth, increased at their fastest rate in more than 7 years. So,
yeah, Melody, rising imports highlight the challenges that the Trump administration faces in its goal to boost annual GDP growth to at least 3%. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast the economy growing at a 3.0% pace in the final 3 months of 2017. The economy grew 2.3% for the entire year, up significantly from the 1.5% logged in 2016, the final year of the Obama administration. Now, economists expect annual GDP growth will hit the government's 3% target this year, 2018, spurred in part by the weak dollar, rising oil prices, and strengthening global economies. While the corporate income tax rate has been slashed to 21% from 35%, and taxes for individual households have also been lowered, economists see only a modest boost to GDP growth as the fiscal stimulus is coming at a time when the economy is almost at full employment. And in fact, they expect it to go below 4% this year.
Well, you know, my question is, if they're anticipating a 3% target growth this year that is spurred in part by a weak dollar, we know they can revise the GDP numbers, what, three times?
Yeah.
And so each time they make the revision, is the revision based on the new weaker dollar, which would make that number go higher, or are all things relative to the end of that quarter and all things are equal when they're revising the number?
I believe the practice is the latter, that seasonal fluctuations, activities result in an updated figure, whether the numbers revised upward or downward, but some of these underlying the base is March 31st in the case of the first quarter, so that doesn't change.
That won't change. Okay. Consumer spending, that popped 3.8% rate in the fourth quarter, and of course we had that increased online spending during the holidays. I was really surprised that they didn't have that GDP at 3% for that quarter. That really did surprise me, based on all the hoopla and everything that we have been given, but it just surprised me. Economists believe consumer spending is likely to remain supported by rising household wealth, and of course that's all based on the stock market rally. We certainly have higher house pricing. We've had tax cuts, firming wage growth at companies as these companies compete for workers, and some states even raise the minimum wage. Declining savings, however, are still a concern. savings fell to $384 billion from $478 billion in the third quarter, and the saving rate dropped to 2.6% from 3.3% in the prior period. Trade sliced off 1.13 percent points from the GDP growth last quarter, and that's the most in a year, after adding 0.36 of a percentage point in the third quarter.
Not surprisingly, Melody, with consumer spending speeding up, inflation opened its eyes, shall we say, perked up in the fourth quarter. The Fed's preferred inflation measure, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, or the PCE, which fascinatingly in my mind, and I believe in yours too, excludes food and energy.
No, that's so ridiculous.
Right, yeah, rose 1.9%, which was the quickest pace in more than a year, and followed a 1.3% pace of increase in the third quarter. And as we know, signs of rising inflation together with a tightening labor market could in fact put the Fed on a more aggressive path of interest rate increases that is currently being anticipated, according to many economists. The unemployment rate dropped 0.7% last year to a 17-year low of 4.1%, and the Fed has forecasted 3 rate hikes this year, the same number as in 2017.
And you know, this always, I wanted to talk about this too today, and so I'm glad we have this in here. You know, Comcast, you know, with tax reform, tax cuts, everybody's anticipating, oh, everybody's going to get these big savings in their paychecks come February. Well, Comcast, they announced 100,000 bonuses of $1,000.
Woohoo!
But,
what?
Gee whiz, they're going to fire 500 managers, supervisors, and salespeople.
Timing's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, AT&T, the same thing. 200,000 bonuses of $1,000 while laying off thousands. We've talked about these numbers before, and there's a reason why we're talking about them again today. Walmart announced minimum hourly wage raises to $11 and offering $1,000 bonuses on the same day it announced the layoff of thousands of workers. They're closing stores of, what's their bulk? Sam's? Is their bulk?
Yes.
For Costco?
Yes.
Sam's. Well, today, Walmart, they're going to cut more jobs, only this time it's corporate jobs.
Really?
Walmart is cutting 400 to 500 jobs at headquarters this week, the latest effort to streamline a retail empire under threat from Amazon. So this company
can't afford those bonuses, can they?
But the layoffs are going to hit the company in their marketing, human resources, merchandising, real estate, logistics, finance divisions, and it's going to be in the Benton, Arkansas. That's where the headquarters is at. So it's not the little guy anymore. They're canning the middle management. And so it's to me, that's – but do you hear anybody reporting on that?
Yours is the first I've heard.
Yeah. And so – and where did that – and that was from Bloomberg. So – not to say that Bloomberg never makes mistakes, but yeah, that's what they do. But you're not going to hear that. Here's another one that's laying off jobs. You have, everybody knows Toys R Us. You're going to hear, oh, well, they're paying bonuses. They're paying closing bonuses to keep employees around while it shutters its stores. They're looking to close around 180 stores, or about 20% of its U.S. locations. Now, remember, Toys R Us, prior to the holidays, had to go out and borrow $5 billion so they could keep their stores open. Now, they went in debt. Now, they're already ready to file bankruptcy because they can't pay their bills, but they're all ready. They went out to borrow. Now, who in the heck?
It really isn't funny. It's the irony, folks.
I
know. Simply the irony. We feel for the employees impacted by this.
So they go borrow $5 billion to keep their stores open for Christmas, and now they're paying closing bonuses just to keep the employees around while they close their stores. I mean,
that's a new twist. I'm not sure I've heard of closing bonuses before. I mean, I've heard bonuses for closing a deal, but not on closing a plant or a shop.
Well, you know, that kind of sounds nicer than severance, additional severance pay.
Yeah, that's true.
Perhaps. That's you have true. Nine, another store, Nine West. They're close to filing for bankruptcy. And this has been speculated for months, but Nine West Holdings is close to filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
That's the clothing? Is that a
clothing store,
retailer?
Yes, it is. And so the deal would allow Nine West to restructure about $1.5 billion in debt. And so, you know, you just see, and I read an article, I don't have it in front of me, where bankruptcies on businesses, corporate businesses and little corporations and so forth, I think hit a record, maybe not a record, but increased last year, you know, from the year before. So,
jeez.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say we certainly know that the White House and Republicans, you know, who pitched the corporate tax cuts are tickled about these bonuses and pay raises. But as you said, we're not hearing very much at all about these layoffs and firings, which is you know is certainly intriguing. You know, just one other company, Melody, was Comcast, actually, NBC Universal, Comcast NBC Universal, whose CEO, Brian Roberts, said the company is going to award $1,000 bonuses as well to more than 100,000 eligible frontline and non-executive employees. It also plans to spend $50 billion over the next 5 years to improve and extend its broadband plant and capacity, which Robert said he thought would create thousands of new direct and indirect jobs. No word there of any layoffs or firings yet, but I guess we'll see, won't we, Mel?
Yes, we will. And but just remember, folks, all those bonuses, they have to get the money somewhere. So that's not going to come out of their pockets, even with the tax cuts or the tax reform. So you'll probably see increased, you know, increased bills, increased rates, increased on your cable.
That'll be a very interesting thing to follow. And as consumers, we should do just that. Strictly as a measure of accountability to these multinationals in particular. Who, you know, are saying publicly that, hey, we can do this because of these tax cuts. But if they're passing the costs, whether it's, you know, part or all of the cost of these raises and bonuses on to their consumers and clients, that'll be an eye-opener.
Well, you know, there was so much focus this week on Davos, more so than I've ever focused on Davos, I think, in years past. We talk about it, and some things would pop up and so forth. We just figured. But this year, because Mr. Trump went to, there was a lot of attention put on Davos and what was going to be said. We've had
first U.S. president there in decade, couple and decades.
Clinton went in his last year, you know, and he was pretty much a lame duck that year anyway. But anyway, so all eyes were that. And I kind of like to move on to something that's going to be happening here in February 3rd, which will also be interesting to watch how it impacts the market.
Is that your 39th birthday?
39th? 35th.
Well, 35. Oh, gosh.
You're going the wrong direction.
Never. Oh, gee, I broke a cardinal rule. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you.
But no, we have the Federal Reserve Governor Jerome Powell will be replacing Janet Yellen.
Yeah.
So he has been confirmed. He had broad bipartisan support in the Senate to take the helm of the Federal Reserve, and that begins February 3rd. The senators voted earlier this week, 84-13, in favor of the former private equity executive, widely seen as a choice for policy continuity, with President Trump picked in November to replace Yellen, the first woman to lead the Fed. And his confirmation comes as the Fed chair comes in the midst of a broader changes in leadership. The White House is looking at potential candidates to fill the vice chair slot. And I thought they did that. I thought he filled that.
I guess I don't recall.
And the White House, I thought he confirmed the second chair, but anyway, so a lot of these changes, February 3rd, it'll be interesting to see what their view is on our weaker dollar. And Powell, we're going to talk a little bit about Jerome Powell.
Yeah, just in the remaining time this segment, Melody, we know that the former hedge fund managing director, Jerome Powell, in choosing him, Trump broke a three-decade bipartisan practice of presidents renominating the Fed chair they inherited from the president of the other party. Mr. Trump did, however, install a solid supporter in Powell of Yellen's gradual approach to raising interest rates, and someone who sympathizes with White House calls to ease bank rules imposed after the U.S. financial crisis. And we may talk about that in the third segment of the show, depending on our time, discussion of partial rollback of Dodd-Frank. Mr. Powell, who's 64, has never voted against the chair since joining the Fed in 2012, and he sided with the dovish wing at the central bank during his November Senate confirmation hearing, suggesting there may still be more room for the labor market to run. He said, "There may be more slack, more people that can come back to work. I think we're looking at an economy that is going to go under 4% unemployment." U.S. unemployment, as we mentioned earlier in December, was 4.1%, the lowest level since 2000. Melody?
Well, it looks like Powell will need to judge at the Fed's pace of policy tightening enough while watching inflation, which has remained below the Fed's 2% target for most of the last 5 years and is only forecast to creep toward that goal by the end of 2018.
Yeah, that's right, Melody. Some U.S. central bankers are already concerned that conditions are ripe for price pressures to take off, and they're also concerned that low interest rates could increase excess risk-taking by investors, which in turn could lead to a paper asset bubble. Powell acknowledged this himself a year ago when he said, historically, recessions occur often when the Fed tightened to control inflation. More recently, with inflation under control, overheating has shown up in the form of financial excess. Mel?
Well, I hear the music. We're heading into a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Silver Institute and their annual outlook for silver, along with ours. And so please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We have returned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. And during the break, I looked at my emails, and someone sent me this cartoon. And it's pretty easy to, sometimes it's hard to describe, what pictures are and so forth. But it's the illustration of the day, and you can, everybody can vision Hillary Clinton on the telephone. And she's talking to Donald Trump. So the first picture, she's sitting there with the telephone to her ear. The second picture, he's sitting there with the telephone to his ear talking to her. The caption for her says, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg just died, and I would very much like to take her place, Hillary says. Mr. Trump says, well, it's all right with me if it's okay with the funeral home.
Melody? Be careful what you ask for.
That's a classic. That's a classic. But so we were going to talk a little bit about the Silver Institute, and it's out with its annual outlook for silver. And as most investors in silver know, all the metals in the periodic table, silver enjoys one of the most versatile landscapes, which it uses found in a wide variety of applications. And, you know, we don't talk about these applications very often on the program. And it's about time that we do. And silver is very important and to have in your portfolio. Silver serves as a store of value, just like gold. It provides stability against the cycles of economic adversity. And usually what happens when you have this, when you have these major upsets in economies and you have major currency crises, people will turn to silver, not because it's a poor man's gold, but they will turn to it as money. So it goes from an industrial metal back into a money. And so that's very important. And as such, factors influencing silver prices range from developments in the industrial. We have jewelry sectors changes in the macroeconomic sphere, and that also affects investor sentiment. Dave, why don't you share some of the insights that the Silver Institute's report has on their 2018 market trends?
Sure. There are several of them. We'll go over a couple of them. First, silver demand. Silver demand from industrial applications, the largest component of what's called silver offtake, representing 60% in 2017, is expected to grow this year due to silver's unrivaled electrical conductivity. It's expected to continue playing a major role in industry sectors that are moving towards increased electrification, such as automotive. The strong increase in demand for small and large scale solar panels all across the globe also has boosted the demand for silver in photovoltaic applications in recent years, reaching an estimated 92 million ounces in 2017. The Institute expects that growth to continue in 2018 and set another record for silver demand, particularly in China this year. As you mentioned, jewelry demand is expected to continue its steady increase as well this year, expanding by another 4%, according to the Institute. That following a rise of 1% in 2017. Silver demand from jewelry accounts for about 20% of total silver demand worldwide. Most importantly for DGST clients, coined demand almost cut in half in 2017 to 73 million ounces. Much of that weakness was concentrated here in the U.S., where this rising stock market and insane increases in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin diverted capital away from physical precious metals such as silver and gold. But with equity and bonds in expensive territory, folks, and Bitcoin's recent correction or crash, the Institute expects investment to flow back into precious metals, as do we, benefiting silver bar and coin demand this year.
Well, I have my view on the silver prices, but what else did they say about silver prices?
Well, they said that, I mean, they just point out that the price of silver fell by about one half 1% last year to an annual average of $17.05. We know as of today, it's up to close to just under $17.50. This year, the Institute expects the silver price to experience what they're characterizing as a volatile or roller coaster ride. Short covering in the beginning of the year has already sent the price above last year's average, as I mentioned, again, up about 45 cents over last year's average. Now, interestingly, on a ratio with gold, currently at around 72, silver has plenty of room for improvement and to migrate toward its long-term average of around 64. And with physical gold investment likely to be really strong this year via risk hedging in particular, the Institute believes that silver should benefit given the tendency of professional speculators to leverage their gold exposure through silver and retail investors to buy silver instead of gold if they can't afford the latter. Melody, these and other important trends such as exchange traded products, India imports, silver mining, and the like will be further examined in an upcoming Discount Gold and Silver trading blog, What a Rush of Gold and Silver. Watch your email inboxes for that, folks, coming to you real soon. Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners that they can go to the website dgscoins.com. That's dgscoins.com. And there's a little mailbox there, and you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we'll have all kinds of these little tidbits in there. And we're trying to expand on that front as we try to try to get some improvements to sharing information with the listeners, our clients, and to those online. So I'm very excited. We're going to run a special on American Silver Eagles 2018s. They're beautiful. There's no more delays on the 2018s for deliveries. They've all been shipped out. They're all in the process of just being delivered and everything. Some have been received already. But we're going to do the $2.60 over spot and no shipping charges. And boxes of 500 plus, we can help you out a little bit on that price also. So give
Melody,
us a call. Yes.
I'm sorry. May I ask a question?
Yes.
Have you gone to nonprofit status?
No.
Just seems like a phenomenal buy.
That's one thing that will not happen. In fact, there are places online who basically do sell it at wholesale, and I tell everyone,
watch out there.
Be careful. It might work for a little bit, but eventually somebody's going to get taken. And I mean, certainly in the gold business, folks have heard me tell the stories day in and day out of companies who, you know, with the lowest prices, there's something wrong. And usually it's in being in the industry, in the gold and silver industry across this country, everybody knows. You know, all the wholesalers, I'll call and buy and say, we talk about, you know, who's doing what and how much is so-and-so doing. And they all know the credible ones. They all know the ones who overcharge. They all know the ones who are selling things at wholesale. And it's just a matter of time until something happens. And, I try and share that information. And it's very difficult when people are buying for them to really pay attention and to follow the advice that if it's too good to be true, probably is. And if there's one person out of, you know, 5,000 people who process gold and silver in this country, and they're selling it at wholesale, there's got to be something wrong, and you certainly want to stay away. It might sound like a bargain. It's only a bargain if you get your coins. And
how about it, folks? If I may add, just real briefly, I've only been working with Melody since early last fall, and I can tell you, when she says we do business the old-fashioned way with truth and honesty, I can tell you that is true. You're not going to get what she thinks you want to hear. You're going to get what she thinks you need, and she's going to give you the truth, and you're not going to get that from a lot of the other players out there. And so if integrity and trust are big issues with you as an investor, Discount Gold and Silver Trading is your place to call.
Thank you, Dave. And that's 1-800-375-4188. And I love to get things from, you know, the listeners and from the clients. I love pictures. I love comments. We're changing things, so I'm always open to hearing your comments, whether, you know, good comments and the bad ones too. You know, we always listen. And I love getting pictures. And we received a picture from Phil in Canada. And he was having lunch, and he was taking a picture. He did a selfie while he was listening to Financial Survival. So thank you for sending that to me. It tickled me, and I sent it to Dave, and we always enjoy that. And I do get lots of things, and there's always so much to talk about. I never get to sharing that information, and so I just want to let you all know that I appreciate it, but don't stop sending it. I love getting things. Remember, Dave, when you were a little kid, and to get something in the mailbox was just really, oh my gosh, it was just really something. Do you remember as a little kid going to the mailbox and seeing if there was any mail in there? When I went to my grandparents, it was always, you know, running across the street. It was a country road, so the mailbox was on the other side of the road, and it was always exciting. Well, that's how it is when I get things from emails and pictures from my customers and clients and listeners. I get all excited. It's like it takes me back to being a little kid again. But
Well, Melody, now that I know that, I've got a really big pile of unused powder blue and light red. I won't call them pink. It's a lighter shade of red card envelopes with no cards. I'm going to remember that and start sending you snippets of information, because there's nothing like making another person's day with a random act of kindness.
Absolutely. Thank you. All righty, folks.
Well, love is mutual today, folks.
Love is in the air. No. Oh, let's see. Where are we going from here? We got about, 3 minutes left of the program, so...
Well, if you don't mind, I just want to touch on this. I found it fascinating, and you know, you mentioned about, you know, how... as a kid, it's so much fun to go to the mailbox and find something that was written for you or sent to you. And in the same vein, I think about the space program and watching the old Gemini rockets blast off, and later the space shuttles and the landing on the moon. Yeah, I read that you know, the administration may be considering ending funding for the International Space Station program by 2025, according to a draft budget proposal that was leaked. Now we can talk about this next week if we hear from any listeners. But just real briefly, I mean, you might ask, what the heck, International Space Station, space travel? What does that have to do with gold and silver? Well, maybe nothing directly, but certainly indirectly. Let me just say, if the International Space Station is closed, I mean, we operate the ISS in partnership with Russia's space agency. Astronauts from Canada, Europe, Japan have all lived on the station with Americans. It's been a terrific opportunity and a prime example of international cooperation, and particularly in a volatile world with things on our minds like North Korea and you know, the delivery of intercontinental ballistic missiles. You know, I just waxed nostalgic over a program that, you know, admittedly does cost $3 or $4 billion a year for this country. But our leaving this partnership, I'm afraid, could set the stage for more China dominance in filling the gap. Some of the literature, Melody, is saying that how poised China has become to take the lead, in the next 50 years. Certainly joined the U.S. and Russia as a top competitor in this space race. China's now eclipsed Russia with 188 satellite launches.
Yeah, what's the difference? I mean, I thought there was a move to fund NASA for, was it going to the moon or something?
Trump and Pence have talked about another mission to the moon, but more it's more the thought now is that the ISS provides training and a possible launching pad for future missions to places like Mars. And we do know that there have been a couple of major private enterprise efforts to step in, not necessarily to fill the gap that NASA might leave, but I don't think that they'll be able to do it without us.
Very interesting. Hey folks, and it's very interesting, this hour has gone by so quickly, and we will be returning. Thank you, Dave. We will be returning, listeners, Monday, so please be safe this weekend. 1-800-375-4188, give us a call, and until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.